Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to issue 4102 of The Bugle. What you are about to hear is a mixture of the live shows from the Stand Comedy Clubs in Glasgow on Tuesday the 19th of March and Edinburgh on Wednesday the 20th. As I speak, it's now Thursday the 21st. By the time you listen to this, it will be at least Friday the 22nd. And who knows what the f*** will be happening with Brexit by then, other than the fact that it will be deeply, fundamentally flawed, whatever and whenever it does and or doesn't happen. If you enjoy the show or have enjoyed any previous Bugles or expect to enjoy any future Bugles and want to contribute, you can now voluntarily subscribe once again to keep the Bugle free, independent and firing. Click the donate button at thebuglepodcast.com. Also buy tickets and send emails to my satirist for hire Brexit special shows at Soho Theatre, 26th to the 28th of March. I'm not delaying it, I'm going through with the shows. Even if the majority of Britain no longer wants me to, I'm a product of my times. Anyway, here is this week's Bugle, live, albeit now live in the recent past, from Scotland, with me, Alice Fraser, and Chris, with his brand spanking new bionic hip.
We are coming to you live from Edinburgh, which is in Scotland, and also in the UK, for now. And also in the EU. For now, let me just check that is still correct. Yeah, that is still correct as of this minute. Chris is keeping an update. Theresa May, God rest her soul, if it is ever found, is... as we were about to come on stage, she was about to come out and give a speech in which no doubt she will sort everything out in her traditional style. Are you Theresa May fans?
No,
not even Theresa May is a Theresa May fan. There is one good thing about Theresa May, though, and I disagree with her politics. I think, clearly with Brexit, she's been dealt an unplayable hand and has played those cards f***ing incompetently. Chris is here. For those who've not seen Chris before,
hello.
This is what he looks like in 3D. And he's here despite, a serious medical procedure. He had a hip operation, a month ago?
2 months ago.
2 months ago.
Half my ass sawn off. I will show you the photos after the show. How much are you looking forward to the fact that this could be the first Bugle we ever do that will be literally out of date before the interval?
Oh, news, you are a cruel mistress. Just a quick update now. She's not started a speech, but that loud sobbing can be heard through the door at 10 Downing Street. And a woman's voice saying, "I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out there." So we are here on the 20th of March, 2019. This week in history, there's been some sensational. Let's go back to 1649. This week in history, what... In 1649, here's a little quiz question for you, was described as useless and dangerous to the people of England. This is a multiple choice question. What was described as useless and dangerous to the people of England this week in 1649? Was it A, Scotland? Was it B, mixed martial arts? Was it C, Jean-Claude Juncker? Was it D, foreign food? Or was it E, the House of Lords? It was, in fact, the House of Lords, correct, was described as useless and dangerous to the people of England this week in 1649. And the House of Commons passed an act abolishing the House of Lords in March 1649. So, how is that going? The process of abolishing something that, what's it now, 371 years ago, is it? I mean, 368. What are we talking about? F*** it. Anyway, I should be doing that. I'm usually good with numbers. 370 years ago was considered outdated. Just a quick Theresa May update. She's now at the mic in Downing Street, and she said, "Look over there, a peacock." Don't see many of them at this time of year, do you? I've nearly finished my Panini sticker book. Just missing a couple of Huddersfield Town players. Do any of you in the press corps want to do any swapsies? So it looks like she's still not really addressing this issue head on. On this week we have World Poultry Day. was that's this week. I was going to do something about World Poultry Day. Some poultry for you. I've had a lot of fun with PowerPoint, by the way. I was going to do some stuff about World Poultry Day, but a Scottish friend of mine warned against it. He said, "It's guinea fowl the whole show up." Yes, you're right. Yeah, that's too early. It's too early. It's too early. Too soon. You are right. I've got to hold the puns for later in the show. That is turkey to Bugle Live. What will be next? I think we got one more anniversary. That's next. So that is the answer. And answer is in fact the Latin name for goose. It was a bit of a stretch. That was a bit of ostrich. That was a stretch. Anyway, so, right. Now, as always, Buglers, some sections of the Bugle audio newspaper are going where?
Italy!
They're going where, Edinburgh?
Italy!
Correct, they are going in the bin. Including the start of a 100th birthday. Does anyone know what is 100 years old this year? Also, 30 years old this month, any ideas? The internet. The internet is 30 years old. That's what it looked like back in 1989. The internet. It's really uncorked an absolute Jeroboam of fury, the internet. Clearly there's some good things about it, but there's a lot of cricket footage, it turns out, in the world. But so, 1895, on this day in 1895, we have Auguste and Louis Lumière recorded the first footage using their newly patented cinematograph, setting in train a sequence of events that led inevitably to the love guru, Smurfs. And Smurfs 2. right, as always, the section of the Bugle is going where, Glasgow? It's going where? It's going in the bin. I'll press that a little bit too early. In the bin. In the bin this week. Scotland facts. There we are. The Scotch egg. Absolutely key part of Scottish culture. You know the origin of the Scotch egg? It's when they were trying to smuggle William Wallace's testicles back north of the border. Had to disguise it as a snack. Bagpipes. I hadn't written a fact about bagpipes yet, but that's one of the jokes that got lost in the missing hour and a half.
I'm sure these Scottish people need a fact about bagpipes.
And here we have Nicola Sturgeon. And does anyone know what Nicola Sturgeon really intends for Scotland and the United Kingdom? Well, let's find out, because we've got a special device here, a subtextricator app that interprets politicians' words and tells you what they really mean.
The Scottish Government remains committed strongly to the principle of giving Scotland a choice at the end of this process.
Right, just stick that through the...
I am Sturgeon, the Annihilator, the Chainsaw of Everlasting Justice. I want to destroy not just Britain, but all of the human race. Apart from Scotland. Fear my power. I bench 480, and I can kill a rhinoceros just by looking at it. One day, I will come to Westminster and use Big Ben as a toothpick and turn England into a haggis milkshake. Fear the Sturgeon. Fear Scotland. The end is nigh.
There you go. Daily Mail was right. I think we can all agree that sound effect slightly too long. Right, now, that concludes the section in the bin. Right, now it is time, after that slightly overlong beginning, to meet our co-host for today. We are about to try something absolutely incredible on a technological basis. It's Alice Fraser! Right.
Hello, Andy. Hello, Buglers. How are you?
Alice is down the other end of this magic webcam. Everyone wave at Alice. Hey! This is what Scotland looks like these days.
Seems dark.
Well, it's not just Scotland. Alice, you are reporting from tomorrow. How's the world? How's the world looking?
I mean, it's now 6:36 a.m. And I woke up at 4:30, so it's looking like I want a nap. That's how the world is looking.
Right. Okay. Let's crack on with top story this week. And sadly, there's only one place to start with our top story this week, and that is Brexit. Brexit news. Any further updates from our God-given Prime Minister?
Theresa May has blamed MPs. Failing to remember that she herself is one.
Blaming the workings of democracy for the failings of democracy.
Yes.
Right. What happy times we live in. It has been a curious week for Theresa May. She's fundamentally been like a firefighter, desperately trying to put out a burning petrol station by throwing her third and final banana at it. whilst shouting, "I feel lucky! I feel lucky!" This week's events have been described as parliamentary trench warfare, but the important thing to remember about trench warfare is that the opposite sides were firing at each other, not at themselves. That is the key difference. Today, just before we came on air, stroke stage, Jeremy Corbyn walked out of a meeting with party leaders because Chuka Omunnu was there. Now, Chuka Omunnu is my local MP in Streatham. I didn't even know he was Jewish. So Jeremy Corbyn, anyway, he walked out because Chuka Omunnu was there, and he's saying he's not a real party leader, and walked out, which is exactly the kind of mature, grown-up politics we are f***ing crying out for at this difficult time. Jeremy Corbyn, to me, throughout this process, he's sprung into action like a coiled turd. Fought for the future of the United Kingdom with the ferocity of a cornered blancmange. How's Brexit going down in Australia, Alice?
I mean, it's a nice thing to see that you guys can keep a prime minister for more than 5 seconds. And I find it reassuring. It's almost as though the mind-bendingly slow grinding inefficiencies of a representative democratic government are skewed against massive revolutionary change that affects every level of society on purpose. I'm starting to suspect that it's a feature rather than a bug of the system to cause a massive ball ache for someone who wants to swan in and golf punt the place of a nation out of the world's delicately poised economic and military Jenga tower towards the ninth bogey while envisioning a tiny hole in the ground that doesn't exist.
Bear in mind, that is fair. What are you looking at there? I think 6:41 a.m. and that sentence came out coherent. That is a high tariff manoeuvre from Fraser there. Theresa May has very much been like a firefighter desperately trying to put out a burning petrol station by throwing her third and final banana at it. whilst shouting, "I feel lucky, I feel lucky." What does Australia think of Corbyn, you being the Australian Corbyn spokesman?
Well, I just feel he's doing that brilliant Corbyn thing of losing an unlosable popularity contest by having strong opinions about everything except the thing that's directly relevant and anti-Semitism.
I think you might have a career ahead of you as a political advisor. That is.
he's like the uncle you used to like until you stopped being a teenager and realised he lives in a van. But he's sticking to his principles, except anti-Semitism.
Yeah, I mean, Terence, when you are behind Theresa May in leadership credibility polls, that's like kind of losing to Mozart in a triple jump competition. No matter how bad you are, he's been dead since the 18th century. Hit the fucking sandpit. Now, Theresa May, just before we came, when this came out, there's a letter to the EU. Who's it to? To Donald Tusk. I don't know if you can be, probably can't be asked to read it, so I've summarised it for you here. This is the summary. I'll be Thelma, you be Louise. Let's fucking do this thing. what is going to happen next? Well, at the moment, we're in this bizarre situation where we have managed to achieve simultaneously total chaos and total inaction. But f*** you, science. You've been f***ing fucking owned. Theresa May is basically now trying to force a choice between no deal, which has been voted against, and her deal, which has also been voted against, which is basically like offering your child a choice of a new pet between a dodo and a brontosaurus. And then saying to your child angrily when it looks a little bit confused, well, you fucking asked for a pet almost 3 years ago. I'm giving you a pet whether you fucking want one now or not. Sure, we didn't really think about what having a pet would actually involve in terms of the logistics as a family, and really the only reason you wanted a pet at all was so you could train it to shit in your brother's slippers. But anyway, dodo or brontosaurus, answer the fucking question before you collapse like an overstretched metaphor. So,
Andy, I think the thing is, I've been watching this for a while now, the Brexit back and forth, the arguing, the backbiting, the failure to compromise, the deliberately exploiting things for minor political gains that nobody cares about. I'm starting to feel like the mind-bendingly slow, grinding inefficiencies of a representative democratic government are skewed against massive revolutionary change that affects every level of society on purpose. Which I'm starting to suspect that it's a feature rather than a bug of the system to cause a massive ball ache for anyone who wants to swan in and golf punt the place of a nation out of the world's delicately poised economic and military Jenga tower towards the ninth bogey while envisioning a tiny hole in the ground that doesn't exist.
And Alice. So, John Bercow's, he threw a spanner in the works with his, by using the that law from 1604. Now, John Bercow, admittedly, he's not exactly a shrinking violet. He's more a bloated, exploding violet who shuns the glare of publicity, very much like a sumo wrestler shuns the opportunity to prance around in nothing but his underpants. Now, but this is a law from 1604 that still exists, which means either one thing, well, one of two things. One, our democracy is f***ing nuts. And or two, that maybe there's something in it, because not all laws from 1604 have lasted. For example, the law which stated that legally there was no difference between the word woman and the word witch. That has been cast by the wayside. There's something really evil about Alice's laugh on a slight delay. For those of you unfamiliar with the law that John Bercow applied, because it was basically stop Theresa May putting the same piece of legislation three times after being rejected significantly twice as some of the biggest defeats in parliamentary history. Here's the wording of the law from 1604. It shall not be perforce or perchance permissible for His Majesty's government, wherewith what from soever its will, in contravention or defiance of the sense and reason of its assembled wisdoms, to attempt to force hump the same fucking useless piece of shit legislation through Parliament over and over again, despite it being really routinely puked back in the Prime Minister's face, simply hoping that eventually people just give the fuck up and cave in like a child in the back of a car demanding sweets. I want a sweet, you can't have a sweet. I want a sweet, I said you can't have a sweet. I want a sweet, I said you can't fucking have a sweet. I want a sweet, oh what the hell? You might as well give a child a sweet and you're about to drive at high speed off the edge of a cliff into a disused quarry. You might as well go down with a fucking fruit pastel in its gobbers knot. So there we go. One final Brexit story before we try to strangle this unwanted Christmas puppy of an issue. France is it's an amazing amount of research I had to do to get that line out. France's Minister for European Affairs has named her cat Brexit because of its indecisive nature. This is might sound like a piece of bullshit, but it is in fact a piece of true bullshit. Nathalie Loiseau, the French minister, says that her cat meows loudly to be let out, but then refuses to go outside when she opens the door. So we're being zinged by the pet names of government ministers from France. How fucking low can we sink? No, it's Scotland News now. There we go. I was fascinated by this story from Scotland this week. You might have seen it about a stroke victim, a young man who'd had a stroke, and he's a Hibs fan, and he did not say anything for 4 months. And the first thing he said when he woke up was, "Hearts are shite." That tells you a lot about A, football, B, Scotland, and C,
human beings. Now, there's not much else you need to know about, really, in this... Alice, have you ever had a four-month coma?
I've had periods of my life when I was working in a law firm that certainly felt like a four-month coma.
I do like football, but I think it could improve. Learn from other sports. Dealing with the curse of players diving, which irritates me as a fan of fair play. I think they can just learn from horse racing. some extremely solid structures in place for preventing the participants pretending they're injured when they are not. And I think you'll find if a footballer was not calling for the physio and the magic spray, but was calling for the tarpaulin of mercy. And a bolt gun. You see how f***ing quickly they get back to their feet. Chris, how painful is a hip replacement?
I thought you could ask, have you ever killed a horse?
We've talked about that so often, I know the answer to that.
I mean, I've shown you and Alice the photos of my arse post-surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, so it wasn't particularly pleasant.
No.
But then, a good scar is a good scar, yeah. Right?
Also, I've not seen your arse pre-surgery, so I didn't have a control...
Yes, you have.
we're moving on to gay news now. You are the Bugle's gay news correspondent. And, well, J.K. Rowling, Scottish hero, of course, has been in the news.
I don't have a background for this, so I'm just going to use these.
Oh, B's gay? I don't know.
There's only one woman, right? It's like being on a sailing ship. You make do. And what's gayer than f***ing flowers? I mean, obviously f***ing someone of the same gender, but... J.K. Rowling has managed to anger both the left and the right wing by saying Dumbledore and Grindelwald had an intense sexual relationship. Conservatives are angry that it's too gay. LGBT activists are saying it's not gay enough. I, for one, will only be happy when all children's books have an R-rated index at the back, like a Dungeons & Dragons vital statistics sheet detailing all of the sexual preferences and erotic strengths and weaknesses of every character.
I've not read Harry Potter. I mean, is there an obvious subtext? No.
I mean, surely this is what fan fiction was invented for.
Well, I would hope so, because what it certainly was not invented for, from my point of view, was for the person who wrote some fan fiction involving me and John Oliver. Let me tell you. That is a paragraph you cannot unread. Did you ever see that?
I mean, I wrote it.
We have, for those of you who don't know, who here, are you Potter fans up here? Yes, I mean, I've never read it. My daughter's really into it, but I thought I'd do some research on the two characters involved. We've got... Albus Dumbledore, who of course reached round two of the mixed doubles at Wimbledon, playing with the great American Darlene Hard. There he is there. And also worked as the drag act for a while in the 1920s. Whilst Abdullah Grindelwald, bit of a surprise first name that for me, played spoons on the B-side of an early Vera Lynn hit and almost had a threesome with Mussolini and Marlena Dietrich and once had to have 8 snooker balls surgically removed from his stomach after a fight with 15-time world snooker champion Joe Davis after misunderstanding the term touching balls.
See, there you go, Andy. That is fan fiction. You're doing it.
Right, we have some more gay news now. Which one? Do you want to go with the Schwarzenegger gay news story?
Yes. Strongman Rob Kearney won a pro strongman contest in Melbourne and then married his boyfriend on a beach, thereby proving that there are some things in the world that are entirely pure. What makes it better is that Arnold Schwarzenegger attended the wedding and put a picture up on his Instagram celebrating the love of these two giant men, and that the Instagram handle of Rob Kearney is World's Strongest Gay. I mean, the only thing better than being the best at picking big things up and eating 9,000 calories a day is marrying the man you love and knowing that Arnold Schwarzenegger's got your back. Give me all your clothes.
There's some other good news for Scotland has come out. You've probably seen some of the best news Scotland has had recently. It's that England is facing a massive water shortage within 25 years. So very good news for Scotland. Sir James Bevan, the head of the Environmental Agency down in London, said that he wants to see wasting water become as, quote, socially unacceptable as blowing smoke in the face of a baby. Which, to be honest, that's more of a French thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this period of, like, massive international inequality where you have these parched poms dragging their dry bones around the streets while you moist Scots slop around in your excess of water.
I don't know, has it become socially acceptable to blow smoke in a baby's face if you are also pouring water unnecessarily on its head? I don't know. So let's have a quick bugle guide to when to blow smoke in the face of a baby. So here are the times when it is...
So sorry.
When should you blow smoke in the face of a baby? Well, one time when it is acceptable to blow smoke in the face of a baby is when you are trying to summarise the history of the world since the Industrial Revolution to it and don't have much time. Here you go, kid. You f***ing deal with it. Or when the baby has been born with an infestation of cockroaches on his face. Or when the baby is a herring. Perhaps a slice of pig. Or when the baby has been born to a mother who's on universal credit. Sorry, I've got to stop wearing my What Would the Department of Work and Pensions Do wristband. Or when the baby might grow up to be Hitler, then it's fine. When you are a large economic nation and the cost of not polluting the lungs of future generations just doesn't quite stack up on the balance sheet. At all other times, do not blow smoke in the face of a baby. By all means, vape in the face of a baby, that is fine.
See, Andy, the data on vaping isn't in yet. People think it's better than smoking, and it seems to be better than smoking. But imagine if you've, like, given up smoking to vape, and then they found out that it wasn't good for you at all, like it was just as bad as smoking, and then you would be simultaneously really dead and super uncool.
Puns. Well, I was thinking of doing puns. I had a friend from Glasgow. Actually, he was from Scotland. Massive Scottish fan of Scottish football, and he was obsessed with all the Scottish football teams. But he actually went to jail because he used to steal money to pay to go and watch. And he spent way too long. So when he came out, he had this really odd facial twitch whenever he was in a confined space and heard a key turning in the lock. He developed a real cell tick. So am I. He used to save containers from his marmalade and leave them outside his window ledge. He was paranoid about getting poisoned. Because the only water he would drink was from... he'd leave his jars on his window ledge when the weather was bad. He was absolutely dependent on his rain jars. But he made me and my dad fill out this questionnaire about our favourite bit of referee's kit. And my dad and I, we preferred different things. I chose the red card, but Pa ticked the whistle. Anyway, we sent him, he was obsessed with English actresses, and we sent him this, he wanted a sort of kinky strippogram dressed like one of England's most famous actresses. and I'm afraid the Dench wasn't available, nor was the Glenda Jackson. So we sent Mirren. He was also firmly of the opinion that manure from dairy farms has hidden health-given properties. He had rather strange cow dung belief. Cow dung belief. and very, very strange shopping list as well. He liked cured pig meat from cured meat from pig's legs. He only drank dairy, tinned fish. He loved and very trendy berries. So his shopping list generally read ham, milk, tuna, ackies. he also loved dressing up like 17th century Christian writers, but also looking very fashionable at the same time. He was a very hip bunion. Hip bunion? He didn't get on with his parents, though. He actually kidnapped his own mum and kept her in a deep, narrow pit in his garden and would lower her food and drink down in a bucket. He called it his mother well. anyway, he did a lot of good work for charity in the end, and I told him it seemed inevitable that he would be made a sir. I said to him, it's a done deal, United. there we go. So that was it. I mean, I didn't have much time for it, because I was actually going to do puns about fence battles between England and Scotland, but... I couldn't. My memory's not what it was. I've flooded all the names. Don't worry. That's the only one. That's all I've got done. Bar this one. Sorry, that was a panic pun. Panic pun. How many is that?
This is 13, two pun 14? Runs.
Right.
Andy.
Okay. There we go. Two pun runs.
Here endeth the bugle. Amen. Don't forget to voluntarily subscribe if you want to, with whatever you can, and more importantly, want to contribute. Various monthly options are listed via the donate button on our website, or you can just make up whatever you want yourself. Thank you in advance and or retrospectively if you've already done it. One more thing, don't forget Satirist for Hire at Soho Theatre, 26th, 27th and 28th of March. Send your satirical requests to satirisethis at satiristforhire.com and go and see Alice at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. That was two more things. No third thing. One of the options included in the voluntary subscription scheme is the promise of me libelling you in a positive way, if you subscribe with that as an option. Quite a lot of you have done so. I will now, therefore, commence the lies. If you're not involved in this week's lies, rest assured plenty more where these came from. I think you know me that well by now. Until next week, goodbye. Chris, music please. Begin the lies. Tony Price has built a papier-mâché white rhinoceros. He intends to bring it to life to save the endangered species by dousing it with pickled herrings. Catherine Cartwright, meanwhile, keeps a 2-yard section of spare road in the back of her car, just in case she meets someone who ends their journey 0 to 6 feet away from their intended destination. Adam Smout is from the Smout family, so named because they invented a hybrid cross between the smirk and the pout, resulting in the most seductive facial expression in the history of the human head. Chris Llewellyn once dreamt that he discovered the world's largest natural source of marshmallow, 6 kilometres beneath Antarctica. He set up a mining operation and gave all the profits to the penguins. Stephen Jones, by contrast, taught a badger to breakdance. It saved the badger's life when it did a head spin, is that breakdancing, under a speeding truck. Kieran Conliffe wrote most of Bob Dylan's songs. All Dylan did was translate them from the hieroglyphs. Sell out. Kyle Underwood thinks volcanoes only erupt because they are lonely, so he talks to a volcano every weekend. None of them has ever erupted. Usman Kayyum can make anyone taste the taste of lemonade just by describing lemonade to them. And Darren Warner often sets up decoy picnics with all the wasps' favourite foods so that everyone else can enjoy their picnic untroubled by wasps. Nick Kane, for his part, he thinks Johnny Cash should have been UN Secretary General, whilst Adrian Stirrup bizarrely believes that horses should never have been domesticated by humans, because we might have stayed where we were then and no war would ever have happened. Baptiste Mispellon can remember the exact seat he sat in on every train journey he's ever been on. Incredible. Mark Puttick, well, he wants to make a cured sausage using meat from three countries in Europe and two each from Africa and Asia, and then sell it to fans of the blues rock group The White Stripes as a Seven Nations salami. Rob Weir wonders whether or not people ski. Every time he meets someone new, he assesses them and guesses whether or not they do in fact ski. He's correct more than 93% of the time. And finally, Mark Adams has invented eight types of mechanical flamingo. One day, he will make them fight to the death on free-to-air television so everyone can enjoy it. Thank you to all of you involved in those lies and others who will be involved in future lies, and everyone who's donated to the Bugle voluntary subscription scheme so far. To join them, go to thebuglepodcast.com and click Donate.